jump, 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 jump.
I said a hip hop, the hip it of a hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharpen up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance for us to talk about the news of the week with a couple of friends here in studio with me this week. We have a familiar voice, Josh Newby, the executive director of the Council on Aging. Josh, welcome back. No, I don't think his mic's on. There we go.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, look, you sound so much better that way. And then Al Stout, who is a new friend, actually recommended by another good friend of ours, Rusty Branch. Al is the associate pastor at Providence Church, providencepensacola.org, an evangelical church here in Pensacola. He wears a collar.
I do.
I see
which
that.
Is a communion of Reformed and evangelical churches. We're like little P Presbyterian or little A Anglican. We're a
okay.
mix of.
All right. I see you mid-level high church service.
Ecumenical.
Right. That's fair enough. Also, a former radio star used to do work on our one of our sister stations that became ESPN Pensacola back when it was WEBY.
That is
so he is familiar with standing behind the microphone and talking.
That is correct. And I loved it.
It's a bit addictive, isn't it? It's a bit fun. All right, so I actually wasn't going to talk about this one today because I have not presented the topic as, like, the audio clips and walked through it with the audience yet, but this Harrison Butker speech, the kicker for the Chiefs, this has been all over the news, and a lot of people have been talking about it, and you guys are both kind of passionate about this, so I figured, well, fine, you know, let's talk about it. For those who don't know, the Chiefs kicker, Harrison Butker, gave a he'd previously given a speech at another Catholic church. He's a very devout Catholic. He gave a speech previously as a graduation speech. It was just a speech anyway. And then he was given the speech at Benedictine in Kansas. It's a, you know, conservative Catholic, as you know, schools go. And it was a very conservative Catholic speech. Mm-hmm. It, you know, the priests have not been doing their job. COVID really interfered with a lot of principles of freedom. COVID was bad because it prevented people from engaging in, you know, going to church and doing the religious rites that are sacraments that Catholics believe in. And that's not a particularly Catholic thing. He called out the president for being a bad Catholic. He also talked, I think probably the most famous part of the speech was where he's talking about women who are getting their degree and their future path. His wife had a degree and, you know, gave up a career in order to be a homemaker. And he knows that a lot of them, or he said that a lot of them, will do that as well and celebrated that. Widely beloved by conservatives, widely despised by liberals. It was an interesting speech. You watched it?
I did. Yeah, it was fantastic. I think it triggered a bunch of people, made people a little upset, simply because he was saying true things.
He was definitely saying things that they don't want to consider the possibility that they're true.
Right, and not the people that were gathered at the speech.
Mostly right, yeah.
Yeah, but the people who watched it afterwards.
It's been interesting to see the reactions, Josh.
Yeah, so I'd like to disentangle this from the cancellation aspect. I think people should be allowed to say what they want to say, and also the employer aspect. You know, you don't have to be an ambassador for your employer with every word you speak.
I actually like the NFL statement on this. I said he doesn't speak for us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think that's right.
And we have a certain set of views that aren't necessarily the same as his. Okay.
But if you're referencing the most flashpoint part of the speech was like the women, you loved that part. What did you love about that?
So I think the reason that it's any controversy at all is simply because of feminism, particularly second wave feminism that came into the country in the 1960s that ended up destroying the economic base of the country, and it also destroyed families. And so I don't think you have a country unless you have strong families.
I agree. You don't have a.
Fun.
No,
Welcome
agree.
To the
I agree. But is that the fault of women? Should women have to suffer for society, for the family? And by the same token, why don't men have to suffer similarly?
Right. So that is that's second wave feminism. The
right.
idea that women suffer by not having to go and work for some strange man or some strange.
Well, it's
company.
The idea that they don't have the agency.
No,
so this is the question of whether they. I think in the speech he was not saying all women should.
Right.
What he was saying in the speech is many women do, and it's a noble thing.
Right, and it's the best. And I would say it's the best thing.
Well, and that's the part that would irritate a lot of people is, you know, saying that there's a preferential norm for women, but it certainly has been the historic norm, and we certainly see the costs of not choosing that norm, and a lot of women who work, you know. Don't make much extra money, find themselves stressed, feeling like they're bad moms, all kinds of stuff that come with that. But
I mean, do you, as a philosopher, do you evaluate the value of a proposal based on the stresses that it creates or based on the implications, or should that be viewed in a vacuum?
Can do. I mean, I want to see what it looks like on the ground. You know, Danny, you well know us. We're close friends. Your wife works. Yeah, yeah. My wife works only in the house.
Right.
And she finds plenty of ways to be stressed without a job.
Sure, sure.
But, you know, one of the virtues of working at home is that she never has that regret that she hasn't done enough for the kids.
So
whereas women who work frequently have the question of, have I done enough for the family?
I have that question.
Me too.
I mean, I have a 50-hour-a-week job, you know, as you do. So
50?
50?
I have a 50-hour-week job.
You probably have like a 70-hour-a-week
job. I wish I had a 50-hour-a-week job.
You have a demanding job. Yeah. I have a mentally and physically demanding job. I have those regrets as well. It's weird to place that onus on women, and it's weird to place the ramifications of that onus strictly on women.
Right. It's only weird because of second wave feminism. If it had not been for this idea that that women ought to be in the workplace, that they're somehow diminished by not going to work, that's where the weirdness comes in.
Do you believe that though?
The women are diminished by not going into the workforce?
Or that either that or that society is diminished by women going into the workforce?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
the latter?
Yes, the latter. So I would say that if you don't have the old adage, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Sure.
That women flourish and are best, and it's best for society if their primary place is taking – care of the home and taking care of kids and they're rallying around their family.
So there's kind of three positions you might take, right? You might take, on the one hand, you might take that it's better if women get what we might call ordinary jobs or typically, you know, historically male type jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You might say that it's better, the position I think you're taking, Al, is that it's better if women raise a family, assuming they're going to have mm-hmm. one. And then you might take the position, which I think is probably Josh's position, that, well, either one can be noble and virtuous, or trying to do both can be noble and virtuous. It very much depends on the circumstance.
Right. Right.
And I would say I don't know that women are women happier.
Well, that's up to the individual woman.
Right. But in general,
you're trying to generalize, in general, right?
Yeah. Well, that's not a problem. I think it's, you do things with big topics like this, you have to generalize in some sense.
I would say on Al's behalf that we're uncomfortable questioning it, right? And it's extra weird, three men questioning
sure.
it. You know, okay, fair enough. On behalf of all women, right?
I'm not uncomfortable.
But, you know, the idea that you even raised the question of whether it's perfectly okay for women to have full-time occupations outside the home, well, how dare you? And anytime somebody says how dare you,
yeah.
you kind of wonder, well, I mean, shouldn't we dare? Aren't those exactly the kind of questions we should be willing to talk about?
Well, because the next logical step is that if it's good for society, then there must be a mechanism for enforcing that.
Well, that's liberal in you talking, well, Josh. Conservatives say choose your freedom, you know?
Yeah. I would say, yeah, I definitely don't want a top-down, you have
I don't
to
order
to,
it.
You
yeah.
have to stay home. Kind of a Ceausescu Romanian
nice.
Government.
I think we all appreciate that reference.
Those things, so. I would say that it is a bottom up, that we need to raise up the culture in such a way that is the best thing. And
think about the problem, decide what's best, and then act accordingly is not at all necessarily a connection to enforce a mandate
right.
to make that happen. Well, we'll come back. We'll come back. Okay. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives or the eights.
If you're coming in from Cantonment into Pensacola, you can expect to see some traffic building up going southbound on Highway 29. And in Payson Milton, you can expect to see a little bit of a buildup on US 90 in the center of the bridge there, but clearing up once you get into Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. So I'll give a different take on the speech. I watched it, and again, I haven't really covered it on the show, which I kind of regret that we haven't done that yet. But frankly, I thought the speech was not that great. And the reason I thought it was not that great is because I wasn't sure what it would really accomplish. It's not going to persuade the outsider. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably good for, you know, devoted conservative Catholics to hear a message that reinforces their view.
Sure.
Because maybe they didn't hear that enough. And it certainly does. But when he's talking about contraception is bad, and, you know, priests failing to do their appropriate pastoral duty is bad, and when he's talking about, you know, the politicians who violate their Catholic, you know, doctrine mm-hmm. in order, I mean, I agree with all of that. I just didn't, I mean, I agree that those are the Catholic views, and, you know, that's fine. I just think it's weird that everybody suddenly cares about a Catholic talking to a Catholic school
sure.
about the content of the message when I think your first reaction should be, well, I mean, it's a Catholic talking to a Catholic school, right. and?
I 100% agree with that. It should have caught no one by surprise, and I think that in those terms, and judging it by that metric, it was a very vanilla speech.
Yeah, and in another sense, it's what's almost the story is the fact that so many people feel like they need to talk about how they disagree with, you know, how dare this man? Well, what do you mean how dare he? He's a Catholic. It's a Catholic university. He's expressing their views. How dare you? You know?
Sure.
Do you not believe in tolerance and free speech
that's
and
fair.
Religious freedom? I mean, you know, that's...
Right. It's the blessing and the curse of social media so that you mm-hmm. have the opportunity to interact with a bunch of people that you never would have interacted with in the past. So mm-hmm. in the past, it would have just been heard by only those Roman Catholic students. Now we all get to hear it and we all get to respond. And so I think that it's good in the sense that you could, if someone's listening to that and they say, oh, you know what? Why is my life miserable? Oh, it's because I'm working a 9-to-5 or a 9-to-12 or a 9-to-whatever,
mm-hmm.
and maybe I should change my attitude toward my family, toward my kids, and focus on that. I think it's a good thing.
Or,
I think it's a good thing that people interact.
Ingest the Latin Mass, which was also a big theme of his,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
you know, certainly not something you would advocate for.
No,
but,
I'm not
you know,
a,
you're
I'm
not a Catholic.
Roman Catholic.
Right.
I'm
so,
not a Roman Catholic.
No, I thought that was the weird part, is because the kind of the narrative that conservatives have been telling for many years now is that points of view outside the liberal mainstream are not just dispreferred, but marginalized,
sure.
repressed, criticized, canceled, whatever. And, you know, generally speaking, liberal mainstream viewpoint expressors either downplay that, you know, or remind people that, well, historically, you know, you've had a lot of privilege for a long time.
Right.
Yeah, but not right now.
Right.
And this case, I think, kind of demonstrates that the fact that the NFL would feel obligated to come out and explain, well, he don't speak for us.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm glad you said that.
Right.
But obviously.
Right, right, right.
You know, so.
Yeah, we live in a kind of a negative world when it comes to Christianity, I think, in the idea that there's moral truths that stand outside of time and outside of place, that we live in the kind of a negative world where those things are not just tolerated, but they're actually attacked.
Yeah, they're.
And I think that's a problem.
Again, by, you know, I would say what you see as mainstream American culture. But then again, go to the church, right?
Right.
Or go to the Christian bookstore or listen to the Christian or conservative talk radio show. And there are definitely places where it's just not in the university,
sure.
in the movie theaters, generally,
right.
but not always, and so forth.
Not in the good movies.
I would agree with that.
I would agree with that.
Although there's been a couple.
Yeah. Very, very few people with any objective sense would describe the Christian movie scene as high art.
That's right.
Unfortunately. That's right.
Getting better, though, I think.
Yeah, no, oftentimes doing at least okay, yes. which was definitely a step up for them. Speaking of this, since we're kind of in the vicinity of graduation speeches, I talked a lot this week about the Jerry Seinfeld speech. Mm. And, of course, the protests. And I still think it's amazing that 30 people walking out of a 7,000-person commencement was the news, as opposed to 6,970
right.
people staying
right.
and enjoying a very good speech. Did you...
Yeah, well, it's the black dot on the white piece of paper,
that's
right?
That's right. It's the exception thinking, right? right.
Yeah, no, I love the speech. You know, big-time Jew here, so, you know, we have to game-recognize game, obviously. but no,
And by the way, can I say this? I thought of you this week because when I was talking about Jerry, I was talking about how he's articulating a very thoughtful defense of the Protestant work ethic, and I'm like, oh, but not really.
Right.
The Jewish work
the
ethic.
The Jewish work ethic.
Yeah.
That's right.
Which,
it originated
of course, predates
with
ours.
Us. Let's stay with us.
Yeah,
that's
all
right.
right.
It goes back to Abraham.
Or to God. It's 6 days.
All right.
6 days
all
you
right.
serve all your labor.
But not Jesus. No, no. Yes. Okay. So it was a great speech. And to your point, the people that most needed to hear it are the ones who walked out.
Especially the part about the value of humor.
Yes, yes. But I do have a inclination to support protest of any kind, or at least the ability to protest.
Same.
And I wonder how we would have treated, well, black students wouldn't have been present in the 60s, but it's hard to judge protests during the time in which they occur.
That's fair.
And how do you...
Because the movement may take decades
correct.
To work itself
and,
out.
And how do you judge that value? Is it the quantity? Is it the message? Is it... How do you do that? So I applaud them for walking out.
Do you?
I do. I do. I wish they had stayed.
See, but here's, to here's have the issue. I have no problem with expressing dissent. I have no problem with them criticizing university. I have no problem with them holding some rally either, I mean, maybe simultaneously where they're explaining why they don't like Jerry Seinfeld or his support of Israel or anything like that. It's the spectacle of the stunt where what they're really doing is putting their own viewpoint over the value of the institutional exercise that has a right to operate. And them pitching a fit so publicly, to me, is disrespectful to the other 7,000 people who aren't interested in their publicity stunt. I think you and I probably disagree a little bit about this, but so much of what qualifies as protest is, to me, rude and uncivilized and not in a good way. And I know it needs to be a little bit uncivilized at times, but that's the objection I have to a lot of the various forms of protest is it's not the message or it's not that they're doing it. It's the way in which it's done that is the disruption. Which, of course, I mean, you know, that's the history of protest, right?
Right.
Yeah. I it's like you said, it's the stunt over the message, actually. Their whole purpose was, I want to be seen
right.
Doing this thing. And oftentimes, if you pinned them down, they would say they would agree with most of what he said in his speech, probably.
So I think there's a
except
lot.
Except for the humor part.
Or the idea of privilege and owning your own privilege
and
actually embracing it.
Which was another part of the speech that was kind of interesting, yeah. Right.
I think that there's a line between what I'll call disengagement, which is what these protesters did. They walked out. To my knowledge,
but
they didn't attend. They didn't boo.
Right.
They didn't try to disrupt.
Well,
they
no,
just
there
walked.
Was a little. I couldn't tell if the booing was them or somebody else.
They
but anyway,
as opposed to people who will go into the Louvre and like splash paint as a climate protest, right?
Right. Right.
In that way, you are actively devaluing and interrupting the art.
Isn't this the same? Isn't this a vandalism against the ceremony?
I think that's strong.
Yeah, okay. I would say, like you said, it's rude, and I think they, I would withhold their graduation from them myself. But
interesting. Well, let's go to traffic on the fives, Jimmy. Jimmy's just sitting over here, like taking it all in. I love it.
If you are heading,
are you going to ruin the roads again today, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm gonna ruin the roads just for now. If you're heading eastbound into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze, or if you're heading westbound into Pensacola from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you can expect to see a lot of traffic building up right before the Naval Live Oaks Nature Preserve, clearing up before you get to the bridge into Pensacola. Pace and Milton, we can expect a little bit of traffic on the bridge due to some construction work, but we are clear on Chemukla and Woodbine at those intersections, so you guys are going to be clear into Pensacola once you exit the bridge. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Get a quote at progressive.com. That's progressive.com. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Somebody texted and says there's a difference between protest and temper tantrums. Which,
right.
You know, fair. Speaking of temper tantrums, Ray Eddington.
Yeah.
See?
Yes, nice.
County Commissioner, Santa Rosa County. Al, you're a resident of Pace, so
am,
you're
yes.
well familiar with the
these are my people.
Shenanigans.
Oh, no.
Careful.
Yeah.
The Milton and or Santa Rosa County shenanigans. So Ray Eddington does not like Romy White, the publisher of the South Santa Rosa News, called her a bunch of things, said she's a liar and she's a terrible journalist, and Kerry Smith criticized her for not even being a journalist, for having opinions that he disagrees with and expressing them. Anyway, at one rather poignant moment, Romy was trying to videotape the proceedings when Ray was scolding her so publicly, and he yelled and said, or at least he said, no, you're going to stop that. You put that camera down. You're not going to videotape me. And then
as we should all speak to women, let's
be clear. It's the best way to honor women and their agency. And then immediately went to the deputy and said, take her out of here. Take her out of here. To which all the other commissioners were like, sir, no. I was amazed that a county commissioner who is otherwise typically calm would so quickly run to government suppression of journalism or freedom of speech.
Right.
I mean, that was the amazing moment. That's amazing.
Yeah, clearly there's some background there. So there's something that has happened behind the scenes that has that caused him to react the way he did. And it is definitely I've been in front of the county commission before talking about some things, and there are times when they do lose their tempers.
They do. Yeah. Josh, telling a journalist, this put down your camera, leave.
I support journalism, but this would have never happened if she had been at home.
That is a good call.
Nice sleep played, sir. I appreciate that. Al Stout and Josh Newby, thanks for the time. Thanks for the good conversation, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend, y'all. See you Monday.
This is WNRP Gulf Breeze Milton, Pensacola. Proud winner of the Crystal Award in recognition of year-round community service.